Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program, What's at Stake for Voting Rights in the SCOTUS Fight. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question and answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your telephone keypad. Please note that today's conference may be recorded, and I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's conference over to our Communications Director, Kristen Voorhees. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm Kristen Voorhees with the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. Welcome, and again, thank you for joining us for this press briefing on what's at stake for voting rights in the Supreme Court fight. The format of this call is that we will hear from several civil rights leaders, followed by a Q&A session. Now it's my pleasure to turn the call over to Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. Welcome and thank you for joining our press briefing on what Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court could mean for the future of voting rights in America. We're joined on this call by Tom Sines, President and General Counsel of the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, Greg Orton, National Director of the National Council of Asian Pacific Americans, Janae Nelson, Associate Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, and Suzanne Bergeron, Senior Director of Civil Rights and Workforce Policy at the National Urban League. By selecting Brett Kavanaugh to serve a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court, President Trump carried out his threat to nominate justices who would overturn Roe v. Wade and undermine the Affordable Care Act. What's more, if confirmed, Kavanaugh would undermine voting rights enforcement in our nation. In 2011, the Department of Justice objected to a South Carolina voter ID law that threatened to block tens of thousands of people from voting, many of whom are people of color. When South Carolina took the issue to court, Judge Kavanaugh wrote the opinion upholding the state's discriminatory law, and he refused to include language put forward by the other judges on the panel that acknowledged the critical role of the Voting Rights Act in preventing racial discrimination in voting. It is telling and troubling that Kavanaugh refused to recognize the importance of the historic Voting Rights Act. Kavanaugh backed the spurious claim that the voter ID law would prevent voter fraud, but given that South Carolina could not produce any evidence of fraud, it's clear the law's real purpose was to suppress voting, plain and simple. What we know so far about Kavanaugh's record is that he has been a partisan political operative, but we need to know more. We've already seen just how dangerous and consequential Trump's previous Supreme Court appointment has been. This past term, Justice Neil Gorsuch was the fifth and deciding vote in two devastating anti-voting rights decisions. One decision allowed voter purging in Ohio, and the other upheld racial gerrymandering in Texas. Like Gorsuch, Kavanaugh's record suggests that he doesn't respect the fundamental role the Voting Rights Act has played in our nation's history. He's ruled to allow greater access to foreign influence in our elections and consistently sides with the wealthy and powerful over the rights of all people in this country. Efforts to suppress voting rights are efforts to suppress the power of we the people. And if Kavanaugh is confirmed, the days when we could look to the Supreme Court with the hope of safeguarding our fundamental right to vote would be over. This isn't just about one Supreme Court nominee, it's about the future of the nation. With our civil and human rights at stake, the Senate must demand the release and full review of Kavanaugh's record. We need only look to the withdrawal of Ryan Bound's nomination last week to see the importance of a nominee's record. That nominee initially withheld his controversial writings, and once they were revealed, senators on both sides of the aisle decided his record was disqualifying. After the 2000 election, Kavanaugh traveled to Florida to observe the recount as part of the Bush v. Gore litigation. He was rewarded with plum White House positions, but we know little about what Kavanaugh worked on in his several years in the Bush administration. The American people and every senator need to see Kavanaugh's full record because Americans deserve to know who will sit on the highest court of the land and whether he will uphold fairness and justice for everyone. Before equal justice under law become mere words engraved over the Supreme Court, senators must put country over party and refuse to hold a hearing on Kavanaugh until every single document has been turned over and reviewed. Trump's agenda to roll back our civil and human rights will last generations unless the Senate asserts its independent role to thoroughly vet this nomination. Now I'm going to turn the call over to Tom Sines, President and General Counsel of the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Tom?
Thank you, Vanita. Good morning. This is Thomas Fiennes, President and General Counsel of MALDEF, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Throughout MALDEF's 50-year history, we have been involved in undertaking litigation under both the Constitution and the Federal Voting Rights Act to protect and preserve the right of all Latinos, and really all citizens, to vote and to vote effectively in local, state, and federal elections. It is quite clear that we are at a critical point in time in our history with respect to voting rights. For the last 5 years, because of the Congress's failure to act following a decision in Shelby County by the Supreme Court, we have been without the very cost-effective and efficient means of evaluating proposals to change voting rights laws in important regions across the country. Without preclearance, we are left with federal court as the last resort to ensure that our laws reflect the right, the constitutional right of every individual who is eligible to vote. In the Latino community, where we are the largest minority group with projections of increased growth in the future, where we are reaching electoral significance in important jurisdictions at local and state level across the country, we are aware from deep experience that too often those who are in power seek to suppress the vote of newly growing, newly prominent voters. This includes the Latino community. We have seen efforts to suppress the vote through voter identification provisions, through restrictions on the right to register. We have seen attempts to dilute the Latino vote through changing to at-large election systems, leaving in place long-standing at-large election systems, despite a history of preventing Latino and other minority voters from electing candidates of choice. And finally, by championing minimal change redistricting plans that are designed to ensure that incumbents stay in power and growing groups of influential voters, including Latinos, continue to remain on the outside, unable to elect their candidates of choice. It is important in this context that we have a court system, including most importantly the United States Supreme Court, that prioritizes protecting the voting rights of all Americans. That means recognizing the context in which to identify and evaluate electoral changes. It means recognizing that voter ID provisions too often in this day and age are more or less openly acknowledged as attempts to take partisan political advantage of historical patterns of non-participation in particular communities. It means recognizing the context of ongoing racial discrimination, particularly under this administration. Too often we see more or less open attempts to restrict the rights, to restrict the influence of minority communities, including particular the Latino community. In this historic moment, it is critically important that any nominee to the United States Supreme Court be fully vetted with respect to voting rights. So far, what is available about Judge Kavanaugh in his service on the D.C. Court of Appeals is extremely troubling. We need to know more. We need to understand the context in which he will hear challenges to voting rights, his ability to understand the history and continuing effects of racial discrimination, his ability to understand the inappropriateness of attempting to take partisan advantage, political advantage, of the historic patterns of lower participation by minority communities. We need a justice who will champion and understand the critical foundational importance of voting rights to all constitutional and civil rights in this country. In order to assure that we have that kind of justice, it is critically important that the United States Senate play its assigned constitutional role by delving deeply into the nominee's views on voting, the context in which he will hear issues of voting, and his understanding of the history and continuing experience of minority communities, including the Latino community. We join our colleagues then in calling for the United States Senate to ensure a thorough and complete review of all documentary and testimony evidence of Judge Kavanaugh's views with respect to voting rights. There is no more important or foundational right in our country, and this choice is critically important to ensuring that we remain true to the promise of our Constitution.
Thank you, Tom. Now we hear from Greg Orton, National Director of the National Council of Asian Pacific Americans.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Greg Orton, and on behalf of the National Council of Asian Pacific Americans, which is a coalition of 34 national organizations representing all the diverse groups within the Asian American Pacific Islander, or API, community, I want to make clear that we stand with the civil rights community in fighting back against the very real threat that Brett Kavanaugh and the Supreme Court would represent for voting rights. His track record speaks for itself, and his continued support for voter suppression efforts around the country cannot be ignored, as it suggests that his view of American democracy is not an inclusive one. For the API community, this is especially alarming. For our community is one of the fastest-growing demographic groups in the country, and it is estimated that the population of eligible API voters will continue to grow rapidly over the years to come. For example, in 2012, it was estimated that there were around 10 million eligible API voters. By 2016, that number was estimated to have grown to over 12 million. Our community is growing into its political power and is beginning to realize that how through civic engagement we can impact elections and make our voices heard. But perhaps more importantly, while many believe the fight for voting rights is purely political, it is imperative that we remember that for many APIs, the right to vote is intensely personal. It is estimated that over 59% of the Asian American population today was born in another country, and when you control for adult Asian Americans, that number increases. So many of our stories are immigrant stories, and many of our stories are refugee stories. So for so many API immigrant and refugee families who came to America with the belief that American democracy represented a chance at a better life, free of oppression, the ability to vote represents more than just civic participation. It also represents freedom. And this is why voting rights matter so much to the API community. And this is why we call upon every senator to put aside partisan politics to protect our democracy, to ensure that those who they confirm to the Supreme Court uphold the core value that every American's vote is not only counted, but also encouraged. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg. Now we'll hear from Janae Nelson, Associate Director, Counsel of NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund.
Thank you, Kristen. Good morning, everyone, and many thanks to the Leadership Conference for organizing this important briefing. I am Janae Nelson, Associate Director, Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. The Legal Defense Fund, as you know, is a nonprofit, nonpartisan law organization. We were founded in 1940 under the leadership of Thurgood Marshall, and one of our central aims for nearly 80 years has been to achieve racial justice and ensure the full, fair, and free exercise of constitutional and statutory rights for African Americans and other marginalized groups. LDF has been involved in nearly every voting rights battle in this country for the past 78 years because, as the Supreme Court stated nearly 130 years ago in the landmark case Yick Wo versus Hopkins, the right to vote is a fundamental political right preservative of all rights. LDF has worked to combat threats to equal political participation in every form and forum before federal and state courts and in local municipalities. We have also been litigants, either as principal parties, interveners, or amici, in over 700 cases before the United States Supreme Court. That's more cases than any other institution besides the Department of Justice. Finally, there's no denying that the U.S. electorate is diversifying racially and ethnically at warp speed. Last year was the country's most racially and ethnically diverse electorate ever, with nearly one in three eligible voters on election day being a person of color. And the 2018 and 2020 elections promised to continue this trend, with voters of color comprising 44% of millennial voters, which is the largest generation of eligible voters. I say all this to underscore that the Legal Defense Fund's longstanding commitment to and investment in both the protection of voting rights and the integrity of the Supreme Court could not be more substantial. Voting rights protect every other right we enjoy, and it is essential that the next Supreme Court justice has a clear commitment to protecting access to the ballot box, and that the voices of American voters are heard and respected in the confirmation process. For this reason, the Legal Defense Fund is demanding that no action be taken on the nominee until after the November elections and after the mounting number of credible allegations against this administration's conduct in the 2016 elections are fully resolved. As we do with every SCOTUS nominee, we are conducting a comprehensive review of Judge Kavanaugh's extensive record and will issue a full report of our analysis. But we're already deeply concerned by what we've seen thus far. Many of his decisions suggest that his confirmation to the court would deal a death blow to our progress in advancing civil rights, including the right to vote and other democracy-reinforcing rights. As our colleagues at DEMOS and the Campaign Legal Center have concluded, and as we affirm, based on our ongoing review of Judge Kavanaugh's record, I quote, Judge Kavanaugh has an unsettling record on democracy. Judge Kavanaugh's record raises serious concerns that he would expand the power of big money in politics, weaken voter protections, and insulate the president from the rule of law, end quote. Examples of this unsettling record include, as some of my colleagues have already mentioned, a lack of appreciation for the Voting Rights Act, the crown jewel of the civil rights legislation, as demonstrated by his opposition to the Department of Justice's determination that South Carolina's photo ID law would harm minority voters, and its determination that the law was tainted by a discriminatory purpose in the face of uncontroverted evidence that a legislator affirmed a constituent statement comparing black voters to a swarm of bees going after a watermelon if offered money to get voter IDs. With the proliferation of strict voter ID requirements on the rise and a spike in voter purges and other voter suppression tactics that fall disproportionately on racial and language minorities, and with the absence of the protection of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act following the Supreme Court's 2013 decision in Shelby County, which gutted that critical provision, we need a justice who will perform a sensitive inquiry into allegations of racial discrimination in the electoral process. Second, Judge Kavanaugh has demonstrated a proclivity toward deregulation of campaign finance. His decision in Emily versus FEC was a precursor to Citizens United, where the Supreme Court held that money is speech, corporations are citizens, and corporations and unions can make unlimited independent expenditures and finance electioneering communications that call for the defeat or election of individual candidates. That decision opened the floodgates of dark money in our electoral process. And because of grave intergenerational economic disparities perpetuated by government policy and private discrimination between African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, and Native Americans on the one hand and whites on the other, people of color have less access to wealth and are therefore less able to compete in a political system largely fueled by unrestricted money. So Judge Kavanaugh's record on campaign finance is of great concern to our communities. Third and finally, Judge Kavanaugh's argument in a Minnesota Law Review article that sitting presidents should be insulated from time-consuming and distracting lawsuits and investigations because they're contrary to the public interest, and his going as far as to supplicate Congress to pass legislation exempting sitting presidents from criminal prosecution and investigation is deeply concerning. All Americans, but especially racial minorities who have been the target of so many of the president's and this administration's toxic and discriminatory policies, have a stake in guarding against abuses of executive authority and protecting the integrity of that office. Judge Kavanaugh's foregone conclusion that executive authority deserves nearly absolute insulation should stop the Senate dead in its tracks. These are just some of the examples from Judge Kavanaugh's troubling record. And we cannot just focus on his past record. We must also consider the types of cases he will likely adjudicate if he is confirmed to the Supreme Court. This past term of the Supreme Court could not demonstrate more starkly the critical issues facing our democracy that the Supreme Court will decide going forward. The Supreme Court's deferral in partisan gerrymandering cases suggests that the court will take that up in short order. Any new justice of the Supreme Court will be deciding critical challenges to voter purge schemes like the one we saw in Husted versus A. Philip Randolph Institute. And without the full protection of the Voting Rights Act, with all the challenges to the upcoming census and the anticipated lawsuits in connection with 2020 redistricting and the proliferation of voter suppression tactics, these challenges continue and the next Supreme Court justice will likely cast the deciding vote. One of the greatest acts of disrespect to the hallowed right to vote would be to rush forward with a confirmation of a Supreme Court justice before voters have spoken in November and while this administration is under an investigation that calls into question the very legitimacy of the election that put it into office. At the heart of both of those matters, the integrity of the 2016 election and the outcome of the upcoming 2018 elections, is the right of the American voter to have her voice heard and her ballot counted in a free and fair election process. The Legal Defense Fund calls on the Senate to press pause on this nomination because we are at a critical crossroads of democratic collapse and need to protect the one institution that is a final decision maker in interpreting and upholding the law. For these reasons and more, we call on the Senate Judiciary to halt this process, and we thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Janae. Now we'll hear from Suzanne Bergeron, Senior Director of Civil Rights and Workforce Policy at the National Urban League. Suzanne?
Yes, thank you, everyone. This is Suzanne Bergeron, Senior Director for Civil Rights and Workforce Policy of the National Urban League. The National Urban League is a 108-year-old civil rights and human services organization with 90 affiliates in 36 states and the District of Columbia. The National Urban League considers the nomination of a justice to the U.S. Supreme Court one of the most important and lasting decisions of a president's legacy. Unfortunately, this president is shrouded in an investigation that shows no sign of stopping, and as such should not have his nomination considered by the Senate until that investigation concludes. The president's nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, is disturbing to the National Urban League, particularly on the issue of voting rights. Judge Kavanaugh's 2012 opinion upholding a discriminatory South Carolina voter ID law is absolutely chilling, especially in light of the all-important 2018 midterm elections and 2020 presidential election looming on the horizon. We consider his nomination an immediate threat to our community's right to vote that is already under daily attack since the gutting of the Voting Rights Act by the court's 2013 Shelby County versus Holder decision. Having Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court to rule on voting rights cases could leave African-American voters even more vulnerable to voter intimidation and other suppressive tactics that negatively impact black voter turnout. We must unequivocally reject any nominee who would not protect our constitutional right to vote. We cannot count on Judge Kavanaugh to be a champion for those rights. Seating a Supreme Court nominee with an obvious disdain for fundamental liberties will change American life as we know it. The National Urban League, therefore, is urging the Senate to reject his nomination, as we firmly believe that if Judge Kavanaugh is confirmed, it could take generations to undo the damage to our voting protections, our civil rights, as well as access to health care, environmental protections, consumer rights, women's reproductive rights, LGBTQ rights, and immigration rights, to just name a few. We will continue to push the Senate to use the judgment bestowed upon it by the Constitution to delay this vote until the cloud of the Mueller investigation dissipates. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. We'll now open it up to questions. For reporters, I would ask that you please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker. And operator, if you could please provide instructions.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one keys on your telephone keypad. Please keep in mind that you may remove yourself from the question queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press the star and one keys on your touchtone telephone keypad. And we will pause a moment to allow questions to queue. And we will take our first question from Peter Hancock with the Lawrence Journal World. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
As you probably know, Kansas has a voter registration law that's under challenge right now, requiring people to show documentary proof of citizenship in order to register. It was struck down by a district court. It's now on appeal to the 10th Circuit. Wondering, what do you think the chances are that this case or something like it will eventually reach the Supreme Court?
Tom, do you want to give respond to that? Were you able to hear the question?
Yes. Thank you for the question. I think that if efforts continue to impose unnecessary proof of citizenship requirements, that it could well end up before the U.S. Supreme Court. The danger is that even the present case could end up there. On the positive side, the number of attempts to require proof of citizenship has not increased and indeed is rather isolated. That is in part because we recognize, most recognize, there is precious little indication of any voter fraud whatsoever with respect to registration. It's simply not in any non-citizen's interest to attempt to register or register to vote. Nonetheless, because these efforts could continue, because this case still exists, it's important that we have a Supreme Court that includes justices who recognize the context of these efforts, largely about suppressing the Latino vote, who recognize the history of discrimination in voter registration that continues in wide swaths of the country, and is prepared to recognize that the right to vote has to supersede allegations without any proof whatsoever of supposed voter fraud, whether in the form of registration or actual voting. So it's because these cases may end up before the Supreme Court that we need the United States Senate to do its job and do its job fully by ensuring that it understands the philosophy, the historical understanding, the contextual understanding that Judge Kavanaugh may bring to the Supreme Court in deciding voting issues.
Thank you. And as a reminder, to ask a question today, please press the star and one keys on your telephone keypad. And we can pause a moment to allow further questions to queue. And there are no further questions on the line at this time.
Thank you, everybody, for joining. And if you have any other questions, please direct them to press@civilrights.org. Thank you.